Orchestra presents the Screen Guild Players. The Screen Guild player tonight, Bachelor Mother. The starring players...
This is Ann Southern.
This is Fred McMurray.
And Charles Coburn.
Lady Esther welcomes you to as pleasant an evening as you've ever spent with the Screen Guild Players. For tonight's play is RKO's delightful farce, Bachelor Mother. And it stars Fred McMurray as David Merlin, Ann Southern as Polly Parrish, and Charles Coburn as J.B. Merlin. Our story begins on the day before Christmas, the day Polly Parrish lost her job in the department store owned by J.B. Merlin and his son David. Naturally, Polly went job hunting during her lunch hour. But she didn't find a job. She found a baby. The baby was wrapped in a blanket and lying in front of an orphanage door when Polly walked past. Well, almost walked past. She ran up to the step, picked up the baby, and rang the orphanage doorbell. She was standing there holding the baby when a matron opened the door.
Hello, I want to give you this baby. I found it out...
Your name, please.
Polly Parrish. I was just passing by...
Are you employed anywhere?
I'm at Merlin's department store. Say, why the question?
We must know these things before we'll take your baby.
My baby? Oh, you don't understand. I was just walking along the street and saw it lying in the cold...
We're only here to help you, my dear.
Well, you're certainly being a great help. I get fired from my job, and now you want me to...
My dear, many mothers say babies are not their own.
Now, look here. This is ridiculous. This is not my baby. I tell you, I was just walking past the place, and I saw the baby, and then I picked him up, and...
Happy day before Christmas. Fired and an unexpected mother. And that was just the beginning. Before Polly Parrish could break away from the orphanage matron, who insisted that Polly was the mother of the baby... Polly's lunch hour was over, and she hurried back to finish her last day at J.B. Merlin and Sons department store. Soon after, a store messenger came to Polly and led her to the office of David Merlin, the son in J.B. Merlin and Son. The matron from the orphanage was with him.
Come right in, Mrs.
Miss Parrish.
Miss Parrish?
No. I am David Merlin, Miss Parrish. After talking to this lady from the orphanage, I'm convinced your discharge was a great mistake.
Tragedy is more the word, Mr. Merlin.
So the job is yours for as long as you care to have it.
Thank you.
And you're being raised $5 a week. We want you to realize, Miss Parrish, that Merlin's department store is the store with a heart.
Miss Parrish, is that the way to express your gratitude to Mr. Merlin?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I owe you both an apology.
That's quite all right, Miss Parrish. I want to wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And the same to you. Goodbye, Mr. Merlin.
Goodbye. She's a very nice-looking girl.
Yes, poor thing.
You know, I can just see the ecstasy there'll be on her face tonight when she receives her real Christmas present from J.B. Merlin and Son.
Your pardon, miss. You don't seem to realize that this child was sent special rush by J.B. Merlin and Son. Merry Christmas. Good night.
Come back here and get this baby. Oh. Listen, kid, this is nothing personal. I'd love to have you around, but I really couldn't do right by you. Here, take your thumb out of your mouth and give your teeth a chance. All right, ruin your face. Who is it?
Fred. You all ready to go stepping, baby?
Uh-uh. You said it, kid. Come on in, Fred.
Well, you all ready to... Is that yours?
No, it isn't mine.
Well, where did it come from?
I got it for Christmas.
Huh? You don't mean that Santa
Claus.
I don't know what you're thinking, Fred, but you're all wrong.
Sure, of course.
Just as soon as I get my hat and coat, we'll go.
Well, now, look.
Now, don't worry about a thing, Fred. All right, let's go, baby.
Hey, you mean we're taking the kid, too?
Certainly. Why wait till the after Christmas rush to exchange a present you can't use? I'm going to play Santa Claus, too, at the residence of J.B. Merlin and Son, the son of a gun.
Yes, miss?
Is this the home of Mr. David Merlin?
Yes, miss.
Well, I must see him. It's a personal matter. He'll know what it's about when he sees me.
Well, couldn't you write him a letter?
Do you think this came as a postcard?
I really couldn't say this. However, I may say that it will be impossible for you to see Mr. David Merlin.
All right, then you take the baby. That's the way I got it.
Oh, but no, monsieur, you can't do this to me.
And tell Mr. David Merlin and Miss Parrish left it here. And he'll have to use his influence to get it back into that office. Goodbye,
baby, Mr. Merlin. On the treetop, Mr. David. When the wind blows, oh, shut up.
About letting a fella in for a smoke, Polly?
No, it's 2 a.m., Fred. I have to get up early.
Oh, come on. Let me in for just a minute.
I said no. Go home, Fred.
Oh, don't be like that, Polly. You said no once. Now let me in.
Perhaps you didn't understand the young lady.
Huh? Mr. Merlin. I was just... That is... Well, Polly, good night, Mr. Merlin. Good night.
Well, how did you get in here, Mr. Merlin?
The landlady let us in.
Us?
Your baby and me. Miss Parrish, I've seen some low things in my time, but a mother who would abandon her child just to go on a date.
Would it interest you to know that I'm not the mother of that child?
All right, so you're not the mother. You're not employed either.
You're firing me?
I have fired you. And as you go from place to place hunting a job, you'll find that no store in the Merchants of America Association, of which I am junior chairman, will hire you. I'll see to that.
Well, that's prosecution.
And that'll be just the beginning, Miss Parrish. Believe me. Now, do you want to keep your baby and get your job back, or do you want to be jailed for child abandonment?
Well, you don't leave me much choice. I'd like to have my job back.
Well, that's better. Much better. As the years go by, Miss Parrish, and you and your manly little son stroll into life sunset together, you'll thank me for saving you from this terrible temptation.
Well, I'm really not as bad as you think.
Then why did you do it?
Well... there was no one I could turn to.
Well, what about your husband? I mean, the baby's father.
Huh? Oh. Well, you see, we were never formally introduced.
Oh. You poor child. Well, I'll be going. Now, don't worry about a thing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Merlin.
That's all right, Miss Parrish. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Merlin. Oh. Just a second, kid. What am I going to do with you? Have you got any ideas? All right, but don't blame me if you get stuck with a safety pin. And I'm just an amateur at folding, too. Who is it?
The landlady, Mrs. White. Could I maybe come in a minute? What are you trying to do, hide the baby? I know about it. Just like you it looks.
Huh? Are you kidding?
Certainly not. I know from babies. And for you, this baby, I'm taking care of personally while you're working. Listen to him talking.
Talking? What's he saying?
Who knows with that dialect?
Good morning, Polly.
Oh, don't talk too loud, Fred. You'll wake me up.
Yeah, I get it. Walking the floor with the baby, huh? Speaking of the baby, Polly, how's about you getting me a little better job in this joint?
What are you driving at?
Of course, I suppose I could pass my information along to David's old man, J.B., and do myself some good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The baby. David's baby.
David Merlin's baby? I didn't know he was married.
Well, if you don't, nobody does. But regardless of that, don't forget to tell him I want a better job.
Hey, Mama. Look at Mama. Make funny faces.
Well, you certainly go in for sophisticated entertainment. Come in.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Merrily.
Miss Parrish, you realize this is New Year's Eve?
I'll take your word for it. The way I feel, it could be New Year's morning.
Well, it suddenly occurred to me that you must be having a pretty bad evening. I'm going to a New Year's party, and I thought perhaps you'd like to go along.
Oh, well, I'd like to go, but I can't leave the baby.
Oh, well, I've already spoken to your landlady. She'll be glad to watch it.
Oh, well, there's something else.
What?
Well, look, me with a sweater and skirt, we'd make only half a lovely couple.
Oh, don't you worry about that. I'll take care of the clothes. We'll go down to the store and take a complete outfit from stock.
Gosh. An evening gown, silver slippers, flowers in my hair.
And a mink coat. What do you say?
Oh, David, if you wake me up from this beautiful dream, I'll never forgive you.
And, Miss Parrish, if you promise not to tell a soul, I think I can get you a pair of nylons.
Oh, David, you've been drinking.
Miss Parrish. Miss Parrish.
Oh, come in, Mrs. Wise.
Hurry and get your coat on.
Yeah, it won't take a second. Oh, are you sure you don't mind staying with the baby, Mrs. Wise?
Certainly not. Enjoy yourself. You're only young and pretty one. Some of us not even that.
Excuse me. Hello?
This is Fred, Polly.
Yes?
I thought I told you to have your sweetie get me a better job in the store.
What are you talking about?
David Merlin. I know he's there now. I saw him go in. You tell him to give me a decent job tomorrow, or I'll see to it.
You what?
I'll tell his old man who the father of that baby is.
Go right ahead. And Freddie.
Yeah?
If you find out who the mother is, let me know.
Curtain falls on Act One of Bachelor Mother, starring Fred McMurray, Ann Southern, and Charles Coburn. Act Two will follow immediately. But first, I'd like you to hear an important word from Lady Esther.
One of the greatest dancers this world has ever seen was Anna Pavlova. But at one time, a tragic experience almost ruined her career. She was giving two concerts in a faraway city. The first night, she looked gloriously young and vibrant. But the next night, she seemed old and haggard. Here's what happened. By mistake, the wrong colored spotlight was thrown on her. Instantly, she looked 20 years older. The audience whispered, "My, how old Pavlova looks." The right light was immediately switched on, but the damage was done. Everyone in that audience believed Pavlova had grown old. You know, certain shades of face powder, like certain colored spotlights, can make any woman look older. I just hope that you aren't the innocent victim of an unflattering shade of powder. Color specialists say that the wrong shade of powder can put years on your face, and the right shade can make you look years younger. Now, I'd like to tell you, if I could, which is the right shade for you. But I can't. Nobody can do that. There's only one way to find out. You must try the 9 basic shades of face powder right on your own skin. You must look in your mirror and let your own eyes decide which shade is most flattering to you. Of course, it would be very costly for you to buy 9 different boxes of face powder. But you really don't have to. Just send me your name and address on the back of a penny postcard, and by return mail you will receive free 9 different shades of my face powder and a tube of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. All the address you need is Lady Esther, Chicago.
And now the curtain is ready to rise on the second act of Bachelor Mother, starring Ann Southern as Polly Parrish, Fred McMurray as David Merlin, and Charles Coburn as David's father, J.B. Merlin. Well, several hours of fast, and it's very early in the morning of New Year's Day. Polly and David are just returning to Polly's apartment from their New Year's Eve party.
Won't you come in, David?
Yes, thanks. I was afraid you wouldn't ask me.
Why?
Well, after the way you brushed that Fred fellow aside the other night.
Oh. Well, he hadn't kissed me.
Oh, he hadn't? Well, I suppose I shouldn't have, but, well, it was the stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve, and...
And?
It's just midnight, New Year's Eve again.
It is?
Yes, that is in Chicago. Happy New Year in Chicago.
The same to you.
I think I will come in.
Good.
We'll stay up and welcome in New Year and the New Year in Denver, Los Angeles, Honolulu, and I can think of a million other places.
Well, let's get in and shut the door.
Miss Parrish?
Yes, Mrs. White?
The baby's asleep.
Bob's asleep. I'll put him back to sleep.
Then I go now. Soon my boy Jerome is coming home from playing the picolette all night. Jerome, he plays in a swinging band. What a dizzy way to make a living in a hammock.
I don't know how I can thank you, Mrs. White.
Those stars in your eyes is thanks enough for me. Only one thing. Promise in the morning to tell me all about the evening. Huh?
I will, Mrs. White. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Mrs. White.
I guess he decided to wait up and see his Uncle David.
Polly, you've come a long way from the girl who wouldn't even admit this was your child.
Well, this is a very unusual baby.
I don't know why it should be.
Oh, I guess it's heredity.
Oh, sure.
Why, what's the matter with me?
Well, what about the other 50%? You said yourself that you didn't know even who he was.
Well, I don't.
You see?
But I know someone who does. You know him, too.
Who is it?
Fred.
What does he know about it?
He won't tell me. But he's going to tell your father the name of the baby's father. Come in.
Is my son here?
Dad, what are you doing here?
Well, I was just driving around, and I happened to see your car parked outside. So I thought I'd stop in.
Oh, Polly, this is my father. Dad, Miss Parrish.
How do you do?
How do you do? And who is this?
Well, this is Miss Parrish's little boy.
A boy? Would you mind if I'm very, very careful, would you let me hold him just a minute?
Of course. Here, take him.
Thank you, my dear. See, he knows me. Yes, and I'd know that chin anywhere. What's his name?
John.
John? John what?
John B.
Well, thanks for that anyway. Take
it home. You ought to know. He's your father.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Mr. Merlin, is there anything I can do?
You've already done it, my dear. But perhaps you'd better hold little John B. He doesn't seem to recognize me yet.
Well, of course, this is the first time he's seen you.
Well, that's very true. But after all, blood is thicker than water, you know.
What is this? What do you mean, blood is thick? What's the matter with you, Dad?
Well, I'll discuss this with you at home. Goodbye, Miss...
Goodbye.
Goodbye, John B.
Well, David, he knows if you don't.
Knows what?
Well, I think Freddie told him all right.
Told him? Told him what?
That this baby is your father's grandson.
Oh, well, that's very obvious. Anybody that... What?
And he certainly sounded as though he believed it.
Holy mackerel, will you... I can't...
Sit down, David, and take it easy. I know just how you feel.
Is Dad up yet, Phillips?
He's in the dining room, sir.
What's his move?
Does that answer your question, sir?
Well, here goes nothing. Ben, I have to talk to you.
I do the talking. Young man, marriage was good enough for your father and mother, and it's good enough for you. You're going to marry that girl. You're going to bring my grandson into this house.
Now, just a second, Dad. I've got something to tell you.
Don't start that with me. You know my temper.
I don't care about your temper. You haven't any grandson.
How can you deny it? I've received information. I saw you with the girl. I saw the baby.
That's not my baby.
Don't lie to me. I got information in a letter. And even if I didn't have it, if I saw that baby on a desert island by himself, I'd know it was my grandson. He looks exactly like me.
Dad, will you let me tell you something? Will you let me say something?
My mind's made up. Nobody's going to fool around with my grandson. I'm going to take him away from you. You aren't fit to be his father.
I'm not his father.
You're crazy. That's what you are. That's what's the matter with you. You're unbalanced. Tia, where are you going?
To see your grandson.
What about?
Find out who his father is.
Phillips!
Yes, sir.
Bring me some more dishes.
Polly, this is terrible.
Terrible? What?
J.B., Dad thinks that...
Oh, yes, I know. He thought Johnny was yours.
No, Polly, this is no laughing matter. He's going to take the baby away.
I'd like to see him.
Well, that's because you don't know him. He'll get lawyers and investigators. He'll use his influence. He'll get the baby away from
him. Well, he can't do that. It belongs to me. We've got to stop him.
Yeah, well, what can we do?
Take me to your father and let me talk to him. I'll convince him.
He won't believe you either. He's gone off his head. He even wanted me to marry you.
Oh?
Yeah, he wants me to set up with a ready-made family so he'd have a grandson. I tell you, it's serious.
Yeah. It would be serious, marrying me.
Oh, no, I didn't realize how that sounded, Polly.
Will you please go?
I didn't mean that, Polly. I'm sorry. Now, don't you worry. I'll think of something to get you out of this spot you're in.
Oh, you will? Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Merlin. But I wouldn't dream of putting you to so much trouble. I'm perfectly capable of handling this myself. And I promise you, by this time tomorrow, your poor innocent child will have a new father.
Mr. J.B. Merlin will see you now. This way, please.
Thank you. Now, be careful, Jerome. Don't forget what I told you to say.
Oh, not a chance. I got it all wrote out here on my shirt cuff.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Jerome Weiss.
Mr. and Mrs. Weiss? I thought my son introduced you as Miss Parrish.
Oh, well, that's the name I use in the store. We've been married 2 years.
That's right, 2 years.
Your son David just called, and there seemed to be a misunderstanding about our baby.
Ain't that a laugh? When my wife, Polly, here was first telling me, I couldn't believe she meant my baby.
Your baby?
Sure. Ain't he the image of his papa? The faraway look in his eyes?
Yeah, and they're both bald-headed. So you see, Mr. Merlin, there's no need sending anyone to investigate the baby. It's a waste of time.
I can't believe it. It's as though there'd been a death in the family.
Dad. Oh, Dad.
That sounds like my son.
Dad, I've got great news for you.
You have, David?
Yes, you see this fellow here? He's the father of Miss Parrish's baby.
What's that you said, David?
Go ahead, Fred. Tell him.
Mr. Merlin, my wife's a very nervous woman. My son is my son, and I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't send any investigators around to make any trouble for us.
That's very interesting. David, do you know who this is?
Who? Where?
Sitting over there in the corner.
Oh, Polly, but who's the man?
That's the father she brought. You two seem to have slipped up someplace. You've got one too many fathers. And I'm going to prosecute both these men.
Oh, Mr. Merlin, your son made me do this. I'll tell you the truth, and I know what I'm talking about. Your son is the father of that baby.
He's lying, Dad. That worm with Miss Parrish must be the father.
Hey, don't you believe it. I'm only the landlady's son. I'm not the father.
I don't care who the father is. I'm the grandfather.
Polly, Polly. Where is she?
She's gone.
Gone? She'll take my baby. Catch her. I want my grandson.
Polly, let me in quick.
Get away from there.
Open this door. Now, let me in before Father gets here. I have to tell you something.
I don't care. I'll never open it. Get away. You get out of here. You're not going to get this baby.
I'm not trying to take your baby away from you,
then
Polly.
Leave me alone. You've caused me nothing but trouble ever since the first time I saw you. You know so darn much.
Polly, listen, please.
I won't.
Well, you must. You don't know what I've been going through here since you threw me out of here this afternoon. I thought I was doing all this because I wanted to help you, and now I know better.
So do I. You're just a busybody.
Oh, maybe, but I'm also in love, Polly. With you.
Huh?
It's the truth. You've got to believe me.
Oh, David. Do you mean it?
I can prove it. It must be still New Year's Eve somewhere.
Oh, David.
Oh, darling.
Well, so I found you. I knew it. I knew it all the time. Well, David, what do you say now?
Dad, I confess. I am the father of that child.
David!
Well, those are the first true words that have passed your lips in 48 hours. Come on, Johnny. Your parents are all tangled up. Let them straighten it out. You are going with your grandfather. And when you two can come to me as an honest married couple, you'll be very welcome. Until then, good day. Come on, John B., the second.
Well?
You heard what Grandpa said. Let's go.
Do you mean that?
Sure, I got the license on the way down.
And you're willing to spend your life with a ready-made family?
The family is you and Johnny.
You know something, David?
What, darling?
I'll bet this is the first time in history that a baby ever gave birth to a mother and father.
Thank you, Fred McMurray, Ann Southern, and Charles Coburn, for your sparkling performances in our version of Bachelor Mother, which was adapted for radio by Bill Hampton. You know, ladies and gentlemen, all of the stars appearing on these broadcasts donate their services for the benefit of the Motion Picture Relief Fund.
It's a pleasure to appear for such a great cause, Mr. Bradley, and the shows are really fun. But now Fred is going to tell everyone about next week's surprise program. But first, here's a word from one of our best-known beauty experts, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Southern. In the early part of this program, I offered to send free to every woman who is listening 9 different shades of Lady Esther face powder and also a tube of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. Did you ever stop to think that maybe the shade you are now using is not exactly the right shade for you? Well, here's your chance to find, once and for all, the shade of powder that is most flattering to your skin. The shade that makes you look your youngest and loveliest. When you receive your gift, first, clean your skin thoroughly with Lady Esther face cream. And then try on one of the shades, for example, Rochelle. Look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, is this the shade for me? Is this my lucky shade? Then remove the Rochelle. Clean your skin again and try on another shade. Try them all, one after another. When you come to the shade that's right for you, you'll know it the instant you put it on your skin. Your own eyes will tell you that at last you've found the shade that makes your skin look fresher and smoother, that makes you look younger. So just send me your name and address on the back of a penny postcard, and you'll receive free by return mail all 9 shades of Lady Esther face powder and a tube of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. My address is Lady Esther, Chicago.
And now, Fred McMurray.
Before telling you about the surprise Miss Southern mentioned, your Uncle Sam has asked me to tell you about a new career that's open to all women. Many of you will be working in war industries. Some of you will be working on farms. More of you will be in essential civilian jobs, and others will be enlisted in the armed services in the wax and the waves. But you all must have one career in common, and that career is the regular purchase of governments, war bonds, and stamps. They tell me that women spend 80% of America's national income, which means that the responsibility for the purchase of these war bonds and stamps is yours. The President has designated this week as Women at War Week. You can take a part in this week and begin a new career by making yourself Uncle Sam's personal representative in your home. Now about next week's show. Lady Esther will present the Screen Guild players in Samuel Goldwyn's smash comedy hit, Ball of Fire, starring lovely Paulette Goddard as the Ball of Fire and as the pedantic professor who learned about women from her, that great romantic lover, Kay Kaiser.
Fred McMurray is currently appearing in the Paramount picture, The Forest Rangers. Ann Southern will soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, Three Hearts for Julia. And Charles Coburn has just completed Merry-Go-Round, the Columbia picture. Next week, then, Ball of Fire with Paulette Goddard, Kay Kaiser, and Richard Hayden. Music on this program was directed by Wilbur Hatch. The Screen Guild players are presented by Lady Esther. This is Truman Bradley saying thank you and good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.